Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Vav. We're holding right at the bottom of Nun Hei Omid Beis at the Halakim Mishnah. So then the next Mishnah is going to be discussing Inyanim that have to do with the Niskalim, but one particular Niskal, and it's going to actually lead us into a full discussion about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach in the Gemara that follows. HaMegadef Eino Chayav Ad Shiyafaresh Hashem. So someone who blasphemes, so Megadef is what we always use, Kinui Mevorech as Hashem, someone who blessed God, we want to say. But the only Chiyav of Skila on a Megadef would be to actually use the Shem Hashem directly. But if he didn't use the Shem Hashem, he used one of the other Shemot, like Elohim or Tzvakot or Shakai or so on and so forth, then he wouldn't be Chayav. Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha, Bechol Yom, as long as we're dealing with the discussion about the Chiyav, and we don't want to actually hear what was said. So, danino te'edem bikinui. So, we use some kind of euphemism. Generally, by the way, the word kinui, it's important to note that the word kinui, when it's used in terms of the Shemas Hashem, is a reference to a actual shame, or a way of referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, if not through one of the Shiva Shemais, then you could use it in the sense of Rachum, Chanun, and so on. Here, we don't mean that. Here, we mean a kinui is that we utilize a different noun and pretend that that is the same Shem Hashem. So what would they say? They would use the kinui of Yossi. What did the man say? We asked the witness, and the witness says, he said, Yake Yossi et Yossi. Why do we say Yossi? So Rashi says, we say Yossi, because it's, first of all, it's four letters. And secondly, because it has the same gematria as the word Elohim. And because of that, when we say Yake Yossi et Yossi, what they're saying is, he said one of the Shemot HaKodesh, perhaps, or perhaps it means, this is a machlokas, one of the Shemot HaKodesh or the Shem HaKodesh itself, Yudke Vovke, was saying that the Shema Kodesh of Yud Kei Vav Kei should be cursed. Now, the truth is, there's a machlokas about whether there's only a chiyuv if you utilize the Shem HaMiyuchad. Shem HaMiyuchad is called the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's because all of the other Shemas are not references to existence. They're references to manifestations. Let's say Elohim is a reference of to power or din. But the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei itself, as it's written, is a shame that is pure, as Rambam puts it in the Mor Nevuchim, is the chiyuv ha-mitziyut. It's absolute existence that is independent of anything. It has nothing to do with causality. So that's why it's called the shem ha-miyuchad. Actually, Rambam gives there in the Mor Nevuchim a number of different reasons why that's the only shame that's referred to as ha-miyuchad. But the point is that whether you need to use that shame in order to be the cursing shame, that's a machlokas. So it's possible that the shame that is the object of the klala, that for sure has to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. But the shaila is, do you have to say the same Yossi, Yakes Yossi? That we'll see. That's a machlokas. In any event, meanwhile, the Edim haven't actually said what took place. Once Nigmar Hadin, once all of the discussions between the Dayanim on all of the peripherals and other issues that are involved is finished, then we take everyone out of the room, Motzin Kol Adam Lachut, because the fewer people who actually hear a Birchas Hashem, which is a terrible Chilul Hashem, the better. And then we leave only the Dayanim, and we ask the older of the Edim, and we say to him, Emor Masha Shamata Beferush. Say exactly what you heard. And he says it. V'hadayanim omdim al raglehem. And when they hear this, the dayanim get up, v'korim, they tear their clothing, v'lo ma'achin, and you're never allowed to repair that tear. All of this will be explained in the Gemara. But in any event, we see from here, again, one of the yesodos that we've been basing all of the understanding of dinim on for so many years, that it won't help to make it clear to the Besdin what happened. I've seen that there's a lot of discussion among the Achronim who don't understand this issue. You know, why can't the Edim simply make it very clear about what the guy said by saying, and when we said, Yaka Yossi as Yossi, you understand that Yossi was actually a kinoi for the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, or something like that. And then the court would know precisely what he said. So as we've explained many times, the nature of Edus is not about facts. The nature of Edus is about recreating the actual event. And if that's the case, it's not going to help for the Besdin to understand precisely what happened without any possibility of mistake, because that's not Edus. That's just information. And Besdin does not paskin on the basis of information. In the same way that it doesn't paskin in a case where, you know, like we had before, where somebody is holding a knife, is running after someone, he runs into a room, is hidden for 1 second, and then the Edim come in and they see the knife dripping with blood and the victim lying on the floor, and this guy is holding the knife. There's not enough to be mechayev him there because they didn't witness the murder. So what good is it going to do to say that Yossi means Yud Kei Vav Kei or something like this? Okay, also the question about what we mean when you're saying this Yud Kei Vav Kei, do you have to actually, I'm going to be talking about all of this, do you actually have to say those letters and pronounce it the way it's normally pronounced, or is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself said that there should always be the shame of Aleph Dalet that is used as a representation of that shame, that that's what is meant by he's no kivis Hashem. Okay, well, we'll be discussing all of these issues as we go on. And then at that point, that's the moment that the actual Gedifa is recreated in front of the Besdin. And since when somebody witnesses Gedifa, they have to stand up and tear their clothing, as we're going to see. So because of that, the Dayanim here are in the presence of a Gedifa. That's the meaning of the Edus, that you are in the presence of that Gedifa. That avoids a lot of the issues that come up later, which we'll be talking about. Then the second aid does not have to say exactly what was said, because he can say afani kamohu. Since this aid is backed up by the other aid, that would mean that the Besdin at this point knows me pishnei aidim, here's the actual words that were said. If there's a third aid, hashlishi, the Gemara will discuss, why do we talk about the case of a third aid? Hashlishi omer afani kamohu. So we don't have to repeat the actual birchas Hashem. So the Brisa says, Tana, Achi Vorech Shem B'Shem. You have to use a Shem Hashem directly against a Shem Hashem. How do we know that? Omar Shmuel, the Yomar Kra, V'Nokev Shem, V'Nokvo Shem, Yumat. Well, what exactly is that Nokev Shem Hashem Mot Yumat? Rogom Yirgamu Kol Aida. And then it repeats at the end, "Binokvo shem yumat." Why does it say twice the same words? No cave shame, binokvo shame. So obviously, that means that you're supposed to only be done on a no cave, binokave. Now Shmuel takes it for granted that no cave means to curse, but how do you know it means that? I mean, no cave, it's got a lot of meaning. Maybe it means one of the other meanings of nokev. So, mimaidahai nokev lisha devaruchehu. What makes you say that utilization of the word nokev shem means that you actually cursed, which again, we don't like to say curse, so we say you blessed the baruchei. That's because when Bilam speaks about the job that he was given, which was orora, he uses the word kov. Ma ekov lo kabo el. So how can I curse something that God himself has not cursed? Okay, so then we see that the word kov means to curse. And where would the Azharabi, this pasuk that we're bringing only speaks about the onesh. But remember, you cannot give an onesh unless somewhere or other the Torah specified that it was aser. Where does it say it's aser? Elohim lo tekalel. So even though Elohim lo tekalel is a pasuk that includes the din of not being mekalel a dayan, but it's a broader concept, and it means both. So we now understand that there is an onesh for being no cave, and there's an iser for being mekalel, and the two things mean the same. But how does that make us believe that in this particular pasuk of no cave shem Hashem, that it's referring to curses? Because the word no cave could mean to make a hole. For instance, it says, Vayikov chor bidalto. So there we were talking about making a hole in a place where you could put things into. And it says, beferish, the same exact lotion of kov. And of course, we use that all of the time. This was the story of Yoyada Kohen. So he made those containers that everybody would be able to put in their money. And it says, he drilled a hole. So when you bore a hole, it's called kov. And then what would be the issue? So what would that mean? It would mean writing the Shem Hashem and then taking a puncher and putting a hole through it. I mean, how do you know that it means to curse? And where would there be an iser in doing that? The azara would mean v'ibatem et shemam. Look, it says in the pasuk about avodah zara that you should destroy them, wipe out their names. So there it gives a whole list. Nitatzem et mizbechotam, shibartem et matzevotam, asherehem tisrafun be'esh, psilei elohehem tigadehun. And it closes with the words, vibartem et shemam min hamakomahu, wipe out their names. And the very next pasuk is, lo tasun kein l'Hashem Elokecha. That's not what you're to do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so then that means that anything that has the Shem Hashem on it, you're not allowed to make a hole through it. So that would be the Isser, and then the Nokev Shem Hashem with the Isser Skila would mean doing that, writing a Shem Hashem and taking a puncture and putting it through it. No, wait a minute, it can't mean that, says the Gemara, because it says Nokev Shem B'Shem is what we were learning. So Bino cave shame, over here you're not doing that. Bina shame b'shame. See, if we're talking about a curse, so you could say, utilizing this shame, yaka yosi et yosi, that is shame b'shame. But how is putting a hole through one shame? How do you put a hole through a shame using a shame? Well, maybe it means you take two shemot, two pieces of cloth, and you put one on top of the other, and then you put a knife through two of them, and then you're no cave, shame b'shame. So maybe, manach shnei shemot adado bazalo. No, that's not using one shame for the other shame. That's just doing two holes. What's the difference of two holes, one on top of the other? I mean, one has nothing to do with the other one, right? So that's just no cave, a chozer of a no cave. That's just going through one shame and then going through another shame. Okay, maybe it means you take a knife, you write the Shem Hashem on the tip of the knife, and then you use the knife with the Shem Hashem on it to go through the parchment that has the other Shem Hashem on it. So then you'd be no kev shem b'shem. So, ema dechayek shema puma de sakina ubazaba. No, come on. You're not using the shem in that case. You're using the knife. The knife happens to have the shem written on it, but it certainly is not no cave shame b'shame. That's the sharp knife that's making the hole. The fact that it has the Shem Hashem on it does not make any difference. Okay, maybe what it means is no cave in the sense of making a clear statement. Remember, we use that word all the time. Nikvu b'shemot, nokva l'scharcha. Make it very clear. So maybe it would mean that if a person utilizes the shame Yudke Vovke, and he actually pronounces it the way that it's written, or maybe others learn, he says the letters instead of saying the way we say, in order to avoid this, according to those shitas, instead of saying yud kevav ke, he uses the actual letters, the yud and the hey and so on. And maybe that's what it means. Because, look, we see the word nokov is used that way. For instance, Vayikach Moshe v'Aharon et ha'anashim ha'ele asher nikvu b'shemot. So what do you think it means there? That when they were taking the people that were supposed to be the various individuals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said to them, that this is the list of the people that you're supposed to bring out to the tzava and so on, and it goes through all of the names of the Nesiim, so there were Nikvu B'Shemot. So it says over there that they took out Nikvu B'Shemot. So all that means is, was made very clear that this is the individual. In which case, the same way, no cave would mean to designate, to make things clear, and that's exactly what it would be over here. So what would you do? You would say either the shame literally, the way it was written, or the letters of the shame. So that could also be the meaning of it, right? So again, I don't understand. How do you know that it means cursing? Why do you take it as a given? It might mean, what would be the Azara in that case? Azara Sameacha. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. You have to take great care and be Mechabed Hashem and not speak out the Shem Hashem. First of all, that wouldn't make any sense because it's not Shem B'Shem. How are you using another shame when you're being befarish one shame? Furthermore, it doesn't say not to do it. It says to honor the shame. That is an asay. An azhara has to be do not do. And over here, even though you could say, all right, well, if I have to honor the shame, obviously then I cannot do something dishonorable. That's true, but that's called the azhara that you learn out from the implication of its opposite. That's called an azharat asay. An azharat asay is not considered to be an azhara that allows you to be ma'anish based on that azhara. So it can't mean that. Well, you know what? It's very simple. If you take a look at the actual story in which we find the Bikalel, so what does it say over there? Vayikov ben ha'isha ha'yisraelit et Hashem, Vayikalel. Now, what do you want? It's making it very clear that the whole story that we're dealing with over here that talks about the dinim of Klola, which follow after that, is Vayikov Vayikalel, which makes it absolutely certain that the word no cave means, in fact, klala. Okay, so if that's the case, we don't have to worry about it. But wait a minute. Maybe there are two different things here. Maybe there's Vayikov, and there's a separate Vayikalel. Maybe Vayikov does mean what we thought. It means that he speaks out the Shem Hashem, which you're not allowed to do, and then he's Mikalel. So then if that would be the case, you wouldn't be chayev unless you did both of those acts. Just to be mekalel at Hashem would not be enough to be mechayev you. And just to be clearly pronouncing the Shem Hashem would not be enough to be mechayev you. Okay, so put the two together, then there would be a chayev of skila. No. Also, because what does it say after that pasuk? It says, hotzei et ha-mekalel. When it talks about what the onus is to this person, it says, Hotzei et ha-mekalel el michutz la-machaneh, v'samchu kol ha-shomim et yedeyem ha-rosho, v'ragmu oto kol ha-eda. Doesn't say, Hotzei et ha-mekalel, that was also no cave. Why doesn't it say, Hotzei et ha-no-cave ha-mekalel? So obviously, the only issue that we're talking about is mekalel, in which case the mekalel that it says afterwards, no cave, u-mekalel, is the same thing. All right? Let's take a look at the psukim that follow, because those psukim are the basis of the isurim that we learn out from that whole story of the Mekalel. So it says over there, Ve'el b'nei Yisrael tedaber lemor, ish ish ki yekalel Elohav v'nasa cheto. So anyone who curses his God is going to carry his sin with him. And the very next pasuk is the pasuk that we've been talking about. V'nokev shem Hashem, mot yumat, ragom yergemu bo kol ha'ida, kager kezrach, binokpo shem yumat. So what are these two different pasukim? The first one, ish ish, ki yikalel aloha v'nasachato. It says he carries his sin. It doesn't say to do skila. In the next pasuk, it mentions, nokev shem Hashem, as if that's a different thing. So what are these two things? Now, there's a fascinating Zohar that we've spoken about. The Zohar learns that the first pasuk, ish ish yikalel elohav v'nasachato, is a reference to people who have their own gods. If you curse your own god, whatever name you gave that god, then you are also doing a sin. V'nasachato. So that whatever belief you have invested in something that you call a god, even if it's a cross or something like that, you're not allowed to curse it if you've invested your belief in it. It's an amazing idea. And then the next pasuk, which makes a lot of sense. V'nokev shem Hashem, but if you're talking about the real thing, then ragmoto, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, our Gemara doesn't take that as the simple meaning of the pasuk. And therefore, let's try to figure out what would be the difference between those two psukim, which are the central psukim of how it is that we need to deal with the chiyuv of skila. So first it says ish ish. What does that teach me? So the Braita says ish ish. This is the shita of the Rabbanim. That teaches us that even ovdei kochavim, anybody, ish ish, Jew or non-Jew, even ovdei kochavim, are included in the Azara of Birkat Hashem, exactly like a Jew is. The only difference is that there is no din of skila on a goy, ever. There's only a din of sayif, as we'll see in a moment. So therefore, we're talking about two things. Ish, ish, any human being who curses, you're referring to the same idea of Gediva, will be no say avono. Okay, how we'll deal with it? We'll deal with it the way we deal with any of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, that a Ben Noach is over. And then, the other question of Nokev, Shem Hashem, Benokvo Shem, over there, the Yumat is defined as specifically through the Misa of Skila. But a non-Jew in a Neragin Ela B'Sayif, Shekol Mita Ha'amura B'Vnei Noach, Eino Ela B'Sayif. We learn out later on that there is no such thing as a death in Besdin other than Sayef. That we learn out from a pasuk, as we'll see. So therefore, we split it into two different psukim. Say the Chachamim, the first pasuk is a reference to include even Goyim. The second pasuk is meant for Yisrael, and it therefore is Mechayev Skila. But wait a minute, says the Gemara. The dinim that a goy is chayev on are learnt out from psukim that are back in Maaseh Bereishis in Gan Eden. What in the world would we be doing needing a new pasuk over here to teach me within the story of the Mekalel? Why do we need another pasuk? We learned that out from Mihocha Nafka. Remember, as we're going to be seeing very soon, that we learn out from the word Hashem in the pasuk of Vayitzav Hashem Elohim al Adam Lemor, Mikol Eitz Hagan Echol Tochal, we're going to darshan every word in that pasuk and learn out from it the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. The word Hashem in that pasuk, Vayitzav Hashem, is a reference to Birchas Hashem. So why do we need a repetition? Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, the repetition is that we are adding an additional iser here to the ish ish, meaning to the goyim, that includes even the kinuyim. Now, over here, kinuyim mean literally kinuyim, not the way that we used kinuy before. And not only that, it means the official kinuyim. In other words, we're talking about there are sheva shema she'inam nimchakim, any one of those seven shemais that cannot be erased because they are included in the Isser of Lotasun Ken La Shemelo Kechem, they are what a goy would be chayavan. So if he, instead of using the word Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, he uses the word Elohim, or Shakai, or Tzvakot, or Ekyeh, and so on, any of those Shemot are considered to be Shemot vis-a-vis a Goy. And that would be true according to Rebbe Meir. Because Rebbe Meir holds that the dinim of no Kev Shem Hashem is even on Kinuyim. And that would include even B'nai Yisrael, according to Rebbe Meir. So therefore, it would be going a leave it to Rebbe Meir to say that we're adding to the overall Isser. We need to add that we don't mean only Hashem, because the Pasuk in Gan Eden is Vayitzav Hashem Elokim. And over there it uses the word Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So according to Rebbe Meir, Tanya, Ish, Ish, ki yikalel Elohav, v'nasa cheto, mata mudlomar. Why does the Pasuk have to tell us something that in the very next Pasuk it is going to explain in much greater detail? Valo kvar ne'emar, even though it says kvar ne'emar, we often do this. The Pasuk to come is the kvar ne'emar. So, alo kvar ne'emar, v'lo kev shem Hashem mot yumat. So what's the additional issue that's raised by yikalel Elohav? Must be that fish and emar have an okay shame mot yumat. Since the very next pasuk says that you're only going to be chayav if you're no cave shame, yocholoye chayav el al shem am yuchadovat. So you might think that since it says no cave shame Hashem, that's the only case that you would be chayav on. Minayin l'rabot kol hakinuyim. How do we know that any of the shemot Hashem are also included? Talmud lomar ish ki yikalel Elohav, whatever his God is, meaning whatever manifestation of God that we're talking about, which are the various kinuyim, mikol makom, he would be chayev on any of those, and he would be chayev misa. So therefore, the idea over here of the next pasuk is only adding the chiyuv. But in fact, according to Rebbe Meir, they would all be the same. The Chachomim disagree, and the Chachomim say, you're correct in saying that there is an Iser, but you're not correct in saying that you would be Chayev. Al Shem HaMiyuchad B'Misa. So the next pasuk that says B'Nokpo Shem, then there's the Din of Yumat and Yirgamu HaBavanim and so on. That's only on the Nokev Shem Yudkev Avkev, on the additional kinuyim that you are bringing over here from the Ish Ish, Asher Yikalel, which is true, we agree with you, that does mean that there would be an Iser on any of the Shemot, but since it says Beferish, at the only time that we find the Din of Skila was on the Nokev of Shem B'Shem specifically, means that that's the only one that you're actually chayav misa. What would your chayav be for being mekalel with one of the other shemot? It would be a chayav of chorus. Nasa avono always means chorus. We learned that out also from Sukkim. Okay. So in other words, Rabbi Meir, he takes the meaning of vinasa avono that tells me that anybody who uses even a kinui is also chayav misa. So now, if that's what Rebbe Meir says, so now Rebbe Yitzchak Nafcha comes to explain that the Braisa that we said before, Ish Ish, including a Goy, and we said that that's the basis of there being an Isser from a Gadev even to a Goy, says Rebbe Yitzchak Nafcha, according to Rebbe Meir, that makes sense. Because even though we learned out from Gan Eden that there is a din of Giduv on a Goy, over there it was based on the Shem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which is the word that we're Dorish in the Vayitzav Hashem Elokim et Ha'adam. How do we know from that pasuk that the Isser of Gedifa to an Akum would include even other Shemais? That we only know from this additional pasuk of Ish Ish. That explains, says Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, what the meaning would be in a Braita that says that the Mokar of the Isser to a Goy is Ish Ish. So I'm explaining. The Mokar of the Isser to a Goy that expands his Chiyav to the Kinuyim is from Ish Ish, which is no contradiction to the Dinim we're going to be learning later on that are derived directly from Gan Eden. Fine. So now that would make sense But it would only make sense according to Rabbi Meir, because we're not adding anything according to the Chachamim who argue on Rabbi Meir. So therefore, says the Gemara, it would only be true if you hold according to Rabbi Meir, because the Chachamim would pater a goy in the same way that they would pater a Ben Yisro if he used that chain. Now, that actually is not what Rabbi Meir here holds. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's approach, according to which there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about what the din is of a goy that would be using a kinui, and only Rabbi Meir would hold that there's a chiyuv, this goes against Rav Meir's point, because he says, the Omer Rav Meir'sha, ben Noach shebirech et Hashem bekinuyim, even according to the Rabbanan, forget about according to Rabbi Meir, even according to the Rabbanan, says Rabbi Meir'sha, is also going to be chayev misa. Why? My time, huh? Because since the Pasuk says, beferish, benokvo shem, and it adds, for no reason, the words keger, kager, ka'ezrach. So it says, benokev shem Hashem, mot yumat, rogom yirgumubo kol ha'eda, and then these weird words, kager, ka'ezrach, benokvo shem yumat. What's the kager, ka'ezrach talking about over there? Why would I think that there's a difference between a ger and an ezrach? It doesn't make any sense at all. So therefore, comes along to Rabbi Yasha, and he says, it means this. Only ger ve'ezrach, hu debe'inat b'nakvah shem. Where do we tell me that you're only chayev for the nikivah shem yud-kei-vav-kei? That's only if you are a ger or an ezrach. But if you're an ovid kechavim, then this heter doesn't apply. For an ovid kechavim, you would be left with the chiyuv on any of the shemot, afilo bekinui, which means that according to Rav Meir'sha, the fact is that the riboy for an ovid kechavim would be learnt out not from the ish, and the way we were learning before Alibra Rabbi Meir, but rather gufa from the pasuk itself that speaks of the limitation of the chiyuv on gedifa. To be dafka, the words yudke vovke, that limitation is only true on a ger ve'ezrach. But if you're not a ger ve'ezrach and you're an akum, then there's no din of nokva shame, it's any shame, even the kinuyim that you would be chayavat. So that means that we come out with the same understanding, but from a different basis. According to Meir'sha, we're not learning it out from the ish as a riboy to kinuyim for the goy. We're learning it out from the fact that the limitation of an okev shem is limited to keger ve'ezrach. So in other words, according to Rav Meir'sha, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Meir about the halacha, that a ben Noach is chayev for a kinuy. They just learn it from a different makor. So wait a minute. That's a very good makor. Why did Rabbi Meir disagree with it? I mean, Rabbi Meir had to learn it from the, you said, from ish, and that's being marba afilu kinuyim. Rabbi Yasha, according to Chachomim, has a better marker. It says, beferish, in the pasuk, that the limitation of nokev shem bedafka is not said to a guy. It's only said to a ger ve'ezrach. So what did they understand, the meaning of these words, ger ve'ezrach? It doesn't seem to mean a darn thing, according to Rabbi Meir. It does. It's coming to tell me, only beger ve'ezrach is there a din of yirgumu oto. The din of skila is limited to a ger ve'ezrach. But an Oved Kochavim would only be Chayev Saif, as in all of his other Chiyuvim. Why do I think that it would be more than his general Chiyuv, which we learn out from a Pasuk, that Goyim are always Chayev Saif? Because, Sal Kadate Chamina, if it wouldn't have said the idea of a Gerbeke Kaizrach, I would have thought that a whole of Yisrabu is Rabu. Once we included Goyim in the din of Gedifa, and we find that there is a halacha that is the same of Yisrael, because it says ish ish, so then that would compare them to Yisrael, and they would be chayiv in all of the prate din, including the fact that the onesh on this is skila. Therefore, I need to indicate in the posik of this onesh skila that this skila is only in the case of bagir ve'ezrach, but that if it's a goy, it's not meant to include a goy and skila. Interesting. So now, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, he learns that the Rabbanan don't hold the Jerchayev at all for the Kinuyim as a goy, right? So he doesn't need Kager Kezrach, and he doesn't believe Rabbi Yasha's Diak, that according to the Chachonim, the Kager Kezrach is coming to tell me that the limitation to Nokev Shem Hashem is not said on an Akum. So what does he use Kager Kezrach? He doesn't need it to tell me that there's no skila, because there's no chiyuv at all. There's no iser. And so I don't understand what he would be doing with the pasuk Kager Kezrach. What does it mean at all, according to the way Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha understands the Rabbana? He says, I tell you, it means exactly what you said, that the limitations do not apply. But that's not talking about what you thought the limitations were, namely the limitation of being no kev dafka, the shem yud kev avke. That's not the point. There's another limitation here. The other limitation is the fact that it has to be no kev shem b'shem, that it's not enough to just be mekalo. You need to be mekalo with the shem. That limitation is not said on a goy. Ove kochavim, lo be'inat shem b'shem, and in fact, he could be mekalo. Let's say he says just that the shem, he mentions the shem Hashem, and he said it should be cursed. That's enough. He doesn't have to use a shem for the cursing itself. Okay, so then that would be a tremendous chiddush of Ger ve'ezrach that would work out fine according to Rabbanan, even the way Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha understood that. All right, so now the question is, if we're learning that Aliyah to Rabbi Meir, the mocker of including the idea that goyim are usher even on a kinui, but the Rabbanan don't agree to that, that means that they're arguing about how to utilize the ish ish. So Rabbi Meir says ish ish is gufa coming to expand the din of gedifa for goyim to any shame, including the kinuyim. What does the Rabbanan say? What's the meaning of ish ish according to the Rabbanan? Dibrat Torah k'lashon b'nei adam. The Rabbanan do not utilize the discussion of ish ish to be a ribui, where it could simply be the way that the Torah means anyone. Ish ish in the Torah often speaks like that. And so memela, it's not a problem, according to them. Okay, so then that means that the ikr, what we're coming out with, is that the ikr makor for the isra of gedifa on a goy is from the pasuk that we're going to be derish later, namely that it says, Vaitzav Hashem Elokim, and this is back in Maisa Bereishis. Then we have these additions. So according to Rabbi Yasha, the Rabbanan learn that that means even a kinui. How do they learn that? From the Kager Ke'ezrach, that only a Yisro has to be nokev shem, the shem Hashem itself. But the goy, who is not Kager Ke'ezrach, he would be chayev even for a kinui. So they don't need ish ish to tell me that, because they know it simply from the normal din, from Bereishis, that a goy is included. According to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, this whole discussion is ridiculous. The Rabbanan hold that, and actually, he's potter, the goy, on a kinui. So they certainly, the idea of utilizing ish ish is off the wall, because they hold that it does not include, it can't include a goy. In which case, the only solution that we have is that it's not coming to tell me any particular new halacha. Okay, so now that means that we have touched upon, in passing, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, namely the Yisr Gediva, and we've been Merames that we learn it out of Maisa Bereishis. Let us take a look, says the Gemara, on all of these mitzvahs that are given to Akum. Tanu Rabbanan. Sheva mitzvot nitzavut b'nei Noach. There were seven different dinim that are chiyuvim. The first one is dinim, as we'll see. Now, dinim, everybody thinks, is a big machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. And that's because the Rambam says that the mitzvah of dinim, according to Goyim, is that they are mechuyev to create a court system which will be done on the Sheva mitzvahs. So his lashon is, Chayavim lohoshiv dayanim v'shoftim v'chol pelech v'pelech ladun b'sheish ha-mitzvot. So in other words, the other six mitzvahs are supposed to be enforced through a court system. And that's how the Rambam talks about. That's why the city of Shechem was actually chayav to be wiped out, because they weren't being Mekayim, the mitzvah of dinim, since they didn't take action against Shechem ben Hamor. And that means that they were all over on this mitzvah of dinim. That's the Rambam's take on it. The Ramban says that no, what it means is that they are chayev to create an entire court system. And this the Ramban actually argues with, even with the Rambam, in the story of Shechem. So the idea, says the Ramban, is not what the Rambam is saying, but rather, his lashon is, Ein devarim halolu nechonin be'inai, I don't believe that any of the things he said are true. And he brings rayas from the psukim, and al dati hadinim shemonu, in the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, are not anything to do with the other six mitzvahs. The dinim are that they have to have things like geneva, ona, oshek, schar safir, dinim shomrim, eines, mefate, aves nezikin, chevo bechavere, dinim malva v'leve, dinim mekach v'nemkar. They need to have a court system, which is a social contract that does not have to follow the mishpatim of the Torah, but it needs to be a viable and sustainable social contract that is enforced with a court system. So this, being a major machlokas, of course, is going to create tremendous problems for the Rambam, if that's the way we understand him, as we read through the rest of the sugya. And the truth is that there's a lot of discussion about this. How would the Rambam, it's clear from the Gemara later that we're talking about a generalized system of law. Okay, so some learn that the Rambam is based on the Yerushalmi, and indeed the Bavli holds like the Ramban, and that the Rambam is paskling like the Yerushalmi, and so on. However, what it seems to be, and this is said beferish by some of the Achronim, what seems to be is that, remember, one of the mitzvahs that we're talking about is the mitzvah of Gezeila. Now, that mitzvah of Gezeila means that the dinim that you're mechuyev to be enforcing include defining and setting up a system of law that prevents people from having things that they're not allowed to be taking from someone else, which would include things like loans, things like schar sachir, things like geneva, v'ona, things like dinei shomrim. Everything that was mentioned by the Ramban is covered by needing a court system to prevent the broader sense of geneva. People must not be taking things that are meant to belong to other people. And that's learned out from Gan Eden. And if that's the case, included in the Rambam's deal is, of course, a court system that would include overall mishpatim. The Rambam is simply adding, it's mechuyev to enforce all of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and that's why they were mechuyev to be done Shechem. Okay, so if that is true, then it turns out that there wouldn't be much of a problem of how the Rambam learns the sugya that's coming up over here. So we have dinim, we have Birkat Hashem, which is what we just spoke about. That's the idea of the Megadev, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, Shvichut Damim, and the Dinim of Gezel, and Eiver Min HaChai. So those would be the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noah. Rabbi Hananya Ben Gamla Omer, well, Eiver Min HaChai is not only Eiver Min HaChai, it also includes Dam Min HaChai. Now we're going to be going through each one of these things in the Dapim that follow. Rabbi Chitka Omer, they are also Oser in Sirus. Again, we'll be talking about this later, but they're not allowed to sterilize any animal or human. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afala Kishuf. Rabbi Yossi Omer, actually, Kishuf is just a header for many things, because anything that's included in the Isurim of Kishuf, which we'll talk about in a second, says Rabbi Yossi, anything in those psukim, the Ben Noach is Musar Alav. And that would mean that he's included in Lo Yimatzei Becha Mavir Benobito Be'esh. So he can't have this Moloch worship. He cannot, because same Kisamim, do these kind of weird divination stuff. Ma'onen, Menachesh, Mechashev. We'll do, as I said later, with the exact definition of each one. Chover, Chover, Shoel Ov Yedoni, Doresh El Hametim. Anything like that is included, because it says Beferish at the end of that pasuk. Why does it say that God threw out the nations that were living in Eretz Yisrael? Because these were the kind of things that they were doing. I mean, if they weren't not, they weren't muzarim, they weren't warned not to do those things, so why would God have punished them? So obviously, if they were punished by being thrown into Golos because of this, and their land was given away to Klal Yisrael, so it's clear that they're Aser. Rabbi Elazar Omer, I would add, Af al HaKilayim, some dinim of Kilayim, of mixed species, they are also included, and not things like wearing Kilayim, not things like planting seeds that are Kilayim, but to actually mix directly genes, which they would do either by mating one type of animal with another, barba'at behima, or grafting different plants one on the other, that would also be an iser for them. Again, we'll see later on where we get this from. Now, where is this Sheva Mitzvahs? Where do they come from? Because they had to have been given prior in, before we have the Mitzvahs HaTorah, we said that there were Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Where do we see these Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, take a look at God's initial tzivui to Adam HaRishon. So it says, Vayitzav Hashem Elohim al Adam Lemor, Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochal. You are supposed to be eating from any of the things of that are growing over here, and will dorish each one of those psukim. Words, Vayitzav. So what does Vayitzav mean? That is a reference, of course it's only Beremez, but it's a reference to the Din. How do we know? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks out why it is that he loves Avram Avinu, it says, Ki yedatev l'man asher yitzaved banav et beito acharav v'shomru derech Hashem la'asot tzedaka u'mishpat. So then that means, asher yitzaved is a reference to doing tzedaka u'mishpat. And therefore, the Vayitzav is a reference to precisely that. So that you are supposed to pursue justice and enforce it. Okay, that's Vayitzav. The next word is Hashem, Yudke Vavke. Ah, that is a reference to Gedifa, to Birkas Hashem, as we just learned. Because the pasuk later that makes it clear that we call Gedifa Yudke Vavke is Vinokev Shem Hashem, spelling out that name and cursing it, Mot Yumat. So that's the reference to the Yudke Vavke. Elohim. Vayitzav, Hashem, Elohim. What's that Elohim? That's a reference to Avodah Zarah. V'cheinu Omer, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim. That's the classic way that we refer to the gods in plural, Elohim. And that would mean that going after those gods that you create, they would be usher in. Then it says, Al Ha'adam. So Eitzav Hashem Elohim. This is the Elohim Al Ha'adam. What's the Adam? That's a reference to murder. Because, as we see, Shofech Dam Ha'adam, Ba'adam Damo Yishafech. So that is a clear reference to Shvichas Damim of Adam, which is a play on words, because that's the essence of the earth in the Adam, is the Dam of the Adam that includes the iron deposits of the earth, which is the essence of Adam as Dam and Adama, precisely. So it's a beautiful reference to murder, spilling blood. And when it says, Allah Adam, Lemor, what is Lemor? Lemor is a reference to the Arayas. V'chenu omer, Lemor, Ein yishlach ish et ishto, velcham ito, vayta le'ish acher. What is that strange lotion in Yirmiyo? So over there, of course, it's talking over there about a metaphor, but what they're saying is that people say that if a person divorces his wife and she marries another person, can he take her back again? Now, obviously, the actual dinim in that pasuk don't apply to Akum. But nonetheless, the overall deal of this weird word, lemor, is clearly a reference to something that has to do with doing something sexually wrong. Because it's a reference to a woman that leaves him and goes to somebody else. Okay, so then that's a reference to the Arayas. And then it says, what is that sivui? Mikol eitz hagan. You may eat, but you cannot eat v'lo gazal. So in other words, if I hadn't given you this eitz hagan, you wouldn't have been allowed to eat it. Well, why not? It's there. Why not? Because it's not yours. That's why not. So therefore, I am hereby proclaiming it is yours. I'm giving you permission that you can eat it. Okay, so then that means that when you, in general, take things, it has to be with permission. Achol tochel, what's the ochel tochel? You may eat this, but you cannot eat an aver min achai. So in other words, achol tochel, you can eat food. Ochlin, things that were defined for the purpose of achila, you can have. An aver min achai, in which a limb is ripped off of a living organism, was not miyuchad for food, and therefore you're not allowed to eat from this. That is Rabbi Yochanan's approach. When Rabbi Yitzchak came to Babel, he said, no, I don't agree with the way Rabbi Yochanan had it. I learned that vayitzav, that is the lashon of avodas kerchavim. And Elohim, that's the reference to dinim, not vice versa. Remember that according to Rabbi Yochanan, vayitzav is actually from Avram Avinu, understood to be dinim. La'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. And the Elohim is a reference to Elohim Acherim. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, it's the opposite. Vayitzav is a reference to Avodas Kochavim. Elohim is a reference to Dayan. I understand that obviously Elohim, it's easy to see why someone would hold that Elohim is a reference to Din. Because, I mean, always we talk about the Bezdin as Elohim. For instance, V'nikrav ba'al habayit el ha'Elohim. What does that mean? The Baal HaBayit is taken to court. So, of course, when it says Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, it means as Mishpat. So you have to have dinim. But how does he get the idea that Vayitzav means Avodah Zarah? So Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi found a mokor, but different mokoros, for Rabbi Yitzchak. So one of them said, Chanomar, Soru maher min haderech asher tzivitim asulahem ego masecha. So we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe when he gives him the bad news about the ego, that they have turned aside from asher tzivitim. So asher tzivitim therefore means the essential tzivui when it says vaytzav Hashem Elokim is to avoid making an ego masecha or anything like it. So the dinim of Avodah Zarah are referred to as Asher Tzivitim. Whereas the other one, either Rav Chisda or Rav Yitzchak, Rav Avadimi said, the mocker of Rav Yitzchak is that it says in the Pasuk in Hosea that Ashuk Ephraim, Rotsutz Mishpat. So Ephraim, a kinuit of Klal Yisrael as a whole, has been absolutely pressed, crushed by the Mishpat that Hashem has brought against him, because Ho'il, he was very happy to be Halach Acharei Tzav. He followed the mitzvah of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the Nevi'ei HaBaal, so we see that turning aside to do Avodah Zarah is called Tzav. Is there an afkamina whether Tzav is learned from Haderech HaShetzivitim, or whether it's learned from Halacha HaTzav, or it's just, these are all just Ramosim? No, there's a big difference. The difference would be in a case where, let's say, a goy makes an Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't worship it. So, if you hold that it means, so then that would mean that that itself would be mishat asiya. From the time asu, that you make something, you would be chayav. That would mean that if a goy makes himself an idol to worship, even if he doesn't worship it, he would be chayav. But if you learn it from the pasuk of Ki Ho'il Halach, so then from Hosea, the most you could learn is that you had to actually follow through with what you had said. Ad Azo Basar, you have to actually halach, you have to follow it. And Palachla, you would only be chayav if you actually worshipped it. Nah, come on, says Rabbi, nobody holds that. Mi ikalamandi omar, that an Ovi Kechovim that makes an Avodah Zarah is chayav for making the Avodah Zarah, and he never bowed down to it, he didn't worship it, he's going to be chayav? It says beferish in the Braita, not like that. That be'avodat kochavim, the din is, in the application of the dinim, of avodas kochavim to goyim, only those things, dvarim she'beidin shel Yisrael, memitin aliyah, things that a bezdin that would be dining a ben Yisrael and would be mechayev him misa, those are the only things that a goy is aser. But if it's something that ein beit din shel Yisrael memitin aliyah, then ein ben ne'or musar aliyah, then the goy is not even aser, and it's not included in the list of the shema mitzvot b'nei ne'or. Now, we know for a fact, I mean, what would this exclude? L'mu'tei mai. I mean, there's got to be including this. Lav l'mu'tei avikachomim, she'asa avidazara v'lo yishtachavelo. I mean, that's one of the things that a Jew is certainly, I mean, he may be usher to make an avidazara, but he's certainly not chayiv if he didn't actually worship it. So that's what it seems to be saying. A bezid she'yisrael will not be mechayiv it, and therefore a goy is not responsible for it. So how could you say that the difference between the two shitas and where Reb Yitzchak Nafka got things from would be this halacha? Nobody holds that this is true. Omer of Papa, well, maybe that's not what the Braita is talking about. Maybe it's talking about the dinim of actual avoda. It's not referring to asiya. That's not the point. Maybe asiya would be something that a goy could be chayav on. But what it's referring to over here is that, let's say that a Jew gets carried away and he starts making love to his Avodah Zarah, right? So he's kissing it, he's hugging it. Listen, people make love today to their automobiles, you know. I mean, it's not so crazy to make love to your Avodah Zarah. So if that's the case, so what would be the din? So it's saying a Ben Yisrael is not chayev, and therefore it's coming to say that if a guy goes to town with all of this religious love, that is not called worship and it's not usher. Wait a second, what are we talking about? Gifu Fenisha Demai. I mean, what type of avoda are we talking about? If this is the type of idol, that's the whole point of its avoda, that's the derech of its avoda, Ilai Mekidarka, remember that worshipping an avodah zarah, even if it's weird, like, let's say, Merkulis, you're supposed to throw stones at it. I mean, that's sort of a weird avoda. You know, not to mention Pa'or, I mean, going to the bathroom on it. I mean, that is definitely a strange way to worship an idol. But if that is its derech, then that's the Avodah Zarah. So if the derech of this Avodah Zarah is making love to the Avodah Zarah, then you would be chayav. So then bark talohu. So obviously, the Brisa would be saying that if somebody is turned on to Yashka Pipik and he starts making love to this idol in the church or something, that is Shalokidarka. It's not the way that it's normally worshipped, and that's coming to tell me that it's Potter. Maybe that's all, but at this issue of making an idol, it's not talking about it at all. It's talking only about actual worship. Okay, now, let's just take a look at the first one of these Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. You said the first thing is Dinim. When we talked about the Machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ramban, and here's where we run into some problems. And that is as follows. Asks the Gemara, if you say that Dinim is a Chiev all the way back from the time of Maisa Bereishis on all humans, which would mean that a Ben Noach was already Chayev, and that would mean, of course, that all of the Jews who were Yotzim in Mitzrayim, who had a Din of a Ben Noach, they were already Chayev and Dinim, right? But the problem is that the Braita says, Eser mitzvot nitztavu Yisrael b'mora. Klal Yisrael was given 10 mitzvahs in Mora. And remember, we know that in Mora, Sham samlo choku mishpat v'sham nisahu, right? And this is referred back to in the Luchas, specifically in terms of Kibbut Avim, and where it says Kasher Tzivisicha. Where was Kasher Tzivisicha? Must be b'mora. And it must be, when it says Kasher Tzivisicha by Shabbos, that meant that Shabbos was from Mora. Where else was there Kasher Tzivisicha? So, what were these 10 mitzvahs that were added, that were given in Mora? So first of all, there were the 7 mitzvahs that were already Chayev, because even though they were Chayev as B'nai Noach, we needed for them to be given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically at this time to be Mosif, the Chiev of a Ben Bris, that this becomes part of the Bris, and that he's being Mekayim these mitzvahs only because of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzave them. And the truth is that that is true of a Ben Noach today as well. In order to be Yotzei, the Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and to have a din of a Ben Noach who's being Shomer, the Sheva Mitzvahs, in which case he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael and so on, and giving him a din of a Ger Toshav, he would have to be keeping these mitzvahs specifically on the basis of the fact that at Har Sinai, it was confirmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that these are Chiyuvim, not because of some Messiah that they have. Fine. So we needed to have the Sheva Shekib. On that were added 3 more to make 10. And what were those 3? Dinim. Boy, wait a minute. Dinim? I thought your Chayav Dinim is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And here it says, in addition to the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, they were also Mitzvah in Dinim, in Shabbos, and in Kibbut Avim, which makes it very clear that Dinim were not part of the original Sheva Mitzvahs. So, how do you explain that? By the way, before we get to that, I mean, how do we know? What makes us say that there were these 3 additional mitzvahs? Oh, that is clear, because it says, Beferish, Sham Samlo Choku Mishpat. So Choku Mishpat is obviously Dinim, right? Choku Mishpat. Visham Nisahu. And that means that when it says in the Luchais, it says Shabbos, both for Shabbos, and Kivat Avaim, it says in the Tzivui, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. What's that referring to? Where was he Mitzavayu before the Luchais? The Amr of Yudah, that's talking about Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha Bimora. So that means we now know. Now, but the problem is, how can you include Dinim if you were already Chayev in Dinim? Now look, according to the Rambam, this is a ridiculous question. I mean, what do you mean? The dinim that they, the halachas, the way the Rambam understood dinim, was only to have bate dinim for the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, right? So, what's the kasha? If now HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Betzava dinim, it meant the entire system of Mishpat, the social contract that's included in Parshas Mishpatim. It's a ridiculous question the Gemara has. This seems to clearly prove that the Gemara takes for granted that the meaning of dinim that were there before the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach were dinim that were similar to mishpatim, except that they could be a human construct, but that they would serve the purpose of a social contract. How in the world is the Rambam going to understand this? So again, as I mentioned before, either you'll have to go according to those who hold that the Yerushalmi argues on this, it's not that pashut, and or the other more clear-cut solution is that, of course, the Rambam agrees that dinim is on all of the Sheva Mitzvahs. One of those Sheva Mitzvahs is Gezel. You'd think that Gezel only means directly stealing from another person's pocket. It means lying on a contract. It means not paying back a loan. It means not paying someone who worked for you. It means not giving back a pikudon that you were given, and so on and so forth. So that means that the chiyuv of dinim would be to make sure that there is a social contract that defines what do we mean by the right to use something. Seems very clear. The Rambam was only coming to explain the additional chiyuv that you have on dinim, which is that you have to also enforce everyone is mechuyev, which we don't have. Let's say for a Ben Yisrael, who is not a judge, he's not part of a Beis Din, and there's a mitzvah on a Beis Din to do something or another, he's not mechuyev to see to it that it's done, personally, but a goy is. And that's the point that the Rambam is making. Everybody in Shechem was personally responsible, because it was one of his personal Sheva Mitzvahs, to be responsible for anyone that is going against those Sheva Mitzvahs. Somebody stole a girl and raped her? He has to be killed. That's your business. So if you're not Mekayim that, that makes you Chayiv. And that, says the Rambam, was the basis of the Shimon Velevi attack on Shechem. They're not murderers. They were being Mekayim, the Mitzvah, Sheva Mitzvahs, and Enayach. That's all. Fine. So then there's no problem whatsoever from the sugya. So anyway, assuming, therefore, this approach, or assuming that we're learning it like the Ramban, which, okay, Om Reb Nachman, Om Rabba Baravua, when it says that there was an additional mitzvah of dinim, that doesn't mean the whole concept of dinim. Of course, dinim was in place all the time, all the way back by Tzav Hashem Elokim, all the period of the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So lo nitzach of what was added were three particular rules that had not appeared before. And that is Eda, the Edim, the Hatra'ah. There was no din in the time of B'nai Noach, that you need a bezdin of Esrin v'Shleisha in order to be able to be Mekayim the mitzvahs of Arba Mises and Imsur LeBezdin. There weren't any Arba Mises and Imsur LeBezdin. There wasn't any din that din and fashas require Esrin v'Shleisha. There was no din of requiring witnesses. You could kill even on the basis of an Eid Echad, or maybe even information, clear-cut information. Who says you need witnesses? And there certainly was no idea of demanding hatra'ah, that you have to let the person know right before he does the isser, this is usser and you will be punished, and he has to be mater himself, the misa, he has to be mekabel. All of that is totally extra stuff that we learned out, and that was applicable only to B'nai Yisrael, and that is the meaning of the dinim in Mora. No, come on, that's not called dinim. Why would you say hosif alehem dinim? It's particular prate dinim. In the dinim of the dayanim, it should have said hosif alehem hilchas dayanim. I mean, but what do you mean dinim? Dinim means a justice system, which is mashma that there was no justice system at all before. Ela amarava, it's a subsidiary justice system. It's a reference to dinei knasot. There was no din among goyim of a court imposing monetary penalties, which is stealing. Who gives you the right to take money from a person who parks his car in the wrong place? So you wouldn't be able to do knasot. Fines would be prohibited. Comes along the new dinim in Mora, and there's an entirely new system in which the Beis Din can define even knasot. That is a new addition. Still, it shouldn't have said a whole new system. It should have said hosifu bidinim, that they added to the concept of laws that were in force up until that time of B'nai Noach, They added additional concepts which included fines. That's what it should have said. But to say that they created dinim, it's mashma, the whole concept of dinim was only given now. Ela mervaka ba Yaakov, you know what it means? Lo nitzricha ela lo shiv beidin b'chol pelach v'pelach. It means that at Mora, Klal Yisrael was told, dinim need to be ubiquitous. Wherever you are, in every county, there's got to be courts that are appointed. That's what it means. And that was an add-on to the B'nai Noach. Excuse me? B'nai Noach lo yifked? What are you saying? That the B'nai Noach did not have a responsibility to put courts in place in every pelech for pelech? It says beferish, not like that, Vatanya. Kishem shenitztavu Yisrael lo shibat edinim b'chol pelech v'pelech. Kach nitztavu b'nei Noach lo shibat edinim b'chol pelech v'pelech. U'v'chol ir v'ir. That is absolutely true from before. And we'll talk about where we learned this out from and so on. But the idea is that that is not an addition. So what is the addition? Oh, you know what? Hello, Amarava. This has got to be a different shita. Hi, Tana is the Tana Devei Menashe. The Tana Devei Menashe has a different list of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. He takes out Dach, and he puts in Sach. Now, these, of course, are simonim. So, Dach is Dinin and Bir Beirach, Chof of Beirach. Dach. So that's our simon. He takes them out, and they're not included in the Sheva Mitzvot. And instead, he puts in Sach. And Sach was what we talked about before. Sirus, which is sterilizing. And the Chof of Kilayim, which we had mentioned before. So if you add sterilization and the mixing of genes, then you don't have a problem. Because there never was, in fact, a chiyuv for court systems. And in Mora came for the first time the chiyuv to put in place court systems. Whew. Man, oh man. All right. So this is our first foray into the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach here. Very exciting. And Bezrat Hashem opening sugya, which will offer us much pleasure in the days to come. I thank you for your patience. I don't know how to speak any faster, unfortunately. Maybe it's just old age. It might have something to do with each daf equaling 10, but okay. I'll give myself a break. See you, everybody. Kol tov. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.